Is Bloodstain Ritual of the Night worth our time? We're about to find out. Welcome everyone to episode 163 of 1 hour, one decision, 1H, 1D. I am Chris.
And I am Tom.
And we take 60 minutes and play a random game, or in this case, a user requested game on Xbox Game Pass, and decide, well, Tom, is 10 years long enough to wake up from something and play this game?
I thought you were going to definitely go about bloods or stains or maybe a ritual, you know, that it's nighttime. You had so many options.
I did. I just went with the easiest one, which was 10 years. So, yeah. We are going to be talking about Bloodstain Ritual of the Night, developed by Art Play. And this game came out in June of 2019. I play this on the PC. It was 10.6 gigabytes on the PC. Tom, what about you?
Considerably beefier on the Xbox Series S. Where's the beef? I found it. 11.82 gigabytes.
Hey, yowza, that's some heft.
Yeah.
Heft in the Series S. And what's all that heft about? What kind of game is this, Tom?
Metroidvania.
Yes. 100%. So here's my question though, because I know you kind of stealing some of your other thoughts here, but really quickly, it's a Castlevania style game.
Yes, right? Absolutely.
But then it's like, so then do you call it a Castlevania game and like axe the Metroid part? Or are they just both the same? Are they one and the same? And that's why they just kind of smashed them
together? Yeah, I think like as a genre, right, the two games came up at the same time and they're the synonymous. Okay. And so, and it very, when you say that word, right, Castlevania, yep, or Metroid, people know, yep, what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they can imagine the game.
Right.
There, you don't even need to say any much more.
Yeah, right. And I did say a little bit more. I said it's a 2D Metroidvania game, which, you know what? Now that is quite redundant because a Metroidvania is generally in 2D.
Yes. So the Metroids that have been in 3D are weird, right? It's different.
It's not a, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, what is that game loop?
I have traversed the map looking for better gear. Use that gear to kill monsters.
Ooh, that's a good one. I put move left, right, up, down to kill enemies, to level up your characters to progress the story.
When you were giving me all those directions, Chris, I was like, BA, select start.
Ooh, I wonder if that, I don't know. Maybe they threw it in there.
Can you use the Konami code when you're not made by Konami? I don't know.
That's a good question. I wonder if Konami just like throws the book at them if someone has that kind of code in their game. Anyway, let's get into what we liked about this game.
Yes. I think just right from the get-go, it had a pretty cool transition from doing like the comic book style recap into like a 3D cutscene.
Yeah.
The transition from like this is cutscene into game was cool.
Yeah. And during that cutscene, there was a voice that I felt like sounded very familiar. And like I heard it and then I was like, okay, whatever. And then later on in my playthrough, I heard it again. I'm like, is that him? And I think it is David Hayter. I think David Hayter, aka Solid Snake, does the narration, and he does like the title card name of the game. So so with that in mind, I thought overall the voice acting was quite good in this game, and it is fully voiced, which I was surprised about. I was definitely surprised that this game actually had full on every character has some sort of speak, like someone's saying the words as opposed to like the little Charlie Brown noises or whatever that we're used to in this type of game, right? This type of Metroidvania or whatever, like that's not I don't expect
in a 2D side scrolling game, you do not expect full voice acting.
Yeah. And like the Castlevania games of yore, and I think this kind of, and I apologize, I've never really played Symphony of the Night, so anyone that's listening, I'm sorry if your ears are bleeding at this, but yeah, you could see there's a resemblance to that game in a way, and then there's the art style, like that cover art, which is you know, like fantastic in that kind of style of cover arts from that era of games. And yeah, and I thought the music kind of kept me going too. I don't know how, like, it wasn't like generic, but like it felt a little like there was some variety to it, or like, you know, just helped me continue my progress. And I don't know how you felt
about it. No, I put that it felt both nostalgic, but at the same time, like, induced much hype. Like, yeah, it gets you going. It's it's the kind of theme music that where you're like, yeah, I could do this.
Yeah,
I'm gonna keep going. I'm gonna kick for monster sure. butt.
Yeah, I mean, it's no you know, Castlevania Simon Belmont kind of theme there, or Simon's Quest, or whatever. But you know, when you've already peaked, and then you kind of have to, or I don't know. There's been some great soundtracks from what I could tell in the Castlevania series. So again, I apologize. Jeez, I'm just like, everyone listening right now is probably
because I would imagine. You're making lots of enemies in this episode, Chris. I'm going to try to win some of them back.
Yeah, please, please.
I like that it teaches you the mechanics as you need them. I love when any game does this. I am never bombarded here learning how to play this game. Right. I feel like you could pick up this game and play it and have not really played most or many video games at all. Right. And it would walk you through most of it. I also very much liked that when you get some of this new gear, it has a impact on how your character looks, which I was surprised by. Like, I got a new scarf, and the scarf changed Miriam's outfit. Like, I was wearing a blue scarf. I found a red scarf. I put on the red scarf. Now I'm wearing a red scarf in the game. And I'm like, all right. Like, I was surprised by that, because usually you would think the gear is just kind of superficial. It gives you better stats and that's it. But no, it like actually changed what the character was wearing. You expect that, obviously, with the weapons, and there are plenty of weapons to pick up here also.
Oh, yeah.
That obviously that's going to change how the game plays and hopefully how the character looks, and it does.
Right.
But I was impressed with the like little headgear that she was wearing and the scarf. Like, I was like, really? I'm surprised this actually changed the look of the character.
You know, I didn't even notice that. I'm surprised I didn't notice it. So that's kind of cool that it does that. And like you said, yes, they do give you stats. So like any kind of gear that you put on Miriam, or who you play as in this your first playthrough of this game. She will talk about other things about what Miriam does or doesn't show here, but I agree, the variety of weapons, and they throw this variety of weapons at you fairly quickly
early
in the game.
Even from the get-go, you have to pick, you know, do you want to use the daggers, do you want to use the boots? Like,
I was actually surprised. I was like oh, that's just like equipment, like, oh, I can wear these kung fu shoes on my character. It's like, no, it's an actual weapon. I was like, oh, okay. So that was interesting to kind of have that option right off the bat. So good on them. And then you get a little pistol or a musketoon, as they call it. The other thing I thought this game, well, also because the game kind of throws it in your face when you first load it up, but it seems like there's a lot of replayability because, and I think you mentioned this too, there are a lot of characters that you can potentially play this game.
Yes. So. Looking at it, it will kind of spoil the game if you don't play as Miriam. Like, the game is designed with you, the intent of you playing as Miriam, and the dialogue and everything is geared towards that. But
yeah.
Once you've played through it once as this protagonist, you can certainly play it again as these other characters, and it's faster and it's different and they have different mechanics. So that's good on them.
One thing I also want to point out was the kind of pomp and circumstance, the flourish that happens when your character, when Miriam levels up. There's just like, you know, the game kind of freezes, and then there's like all these kind of lights and stuff like that happen on the screen, and you're like, oh wow, okay, I leveled up, that's cool, I'm glad. And then there's the other thing that happens where you stab yourself with a jagged jewel. I was like, what is going on here? That was a little strange, but that's just part of the thing. I guess to kind of quickly let people know the story of this game, you wake up, you play as Miriam. She wakes up after a 10-year slumber, which is kind of what I hinted at earlier, and she finds out that the character that she is going after is this guy named Giebel, who is like another one of her, like someone that's gone through the same kind of torture essentially as she did.
Yeah.
So I guess this cult has been taking on these vessels, so to speak, and trying to, I guess, raise hell. It was something like that, but I was too invested in hearing David Hayter talk, but I didn't really hear the plot. But yeah, like so yeah, you're and the very first part of the game, you're on a ship. Ship gets attacked by someone. You have to figure out what the heck is happening. So
yeah,
that's what's that. Yeah, go on.
I was gonna say I'm ready to talk about some things I didn't so much like.
Okay, we can jump right into it. Go ahead, Tom.
Okay, so you're alluding to it a little bit. I think the plot is pretty cringy. And there's a lot of plot.
There is.
You're pressing A to advance a lot of dialogue. It's like, okay. They're talking. I get it. You made a story. You're interested in communicating your story to your players, yada, yada, yada. But it really felt like a lot of that could have just been done in a cutscene or something. Why am I participating in this?
Fair.
If you just need to dump a bunch of lore at me, just dump it at me, I guess.
Yeah. I will note, though, and I probably should have put this in my likes here, that you can skip those whole cutscenes. There's a button to
But then you skip the whole plot of the game.
I'm saying, like, if you die and then you have to go through that whole cutscene again.
Yes.
That would be that would have been like at the top of my list. I would be like, I never want to play this game again if that were to happen. They did not implement a skip cutscene button. So
I've got a piggyback on that. So
yeah.
Just so you're aware, if you're thinking about playing this game, when you beat a boss, that doesn't save the game. So,
yes.
Nor does it refill your health bar. Mm-hmm. So if you just barely beat a boss and are left with, 5% of your health bar, and then some like chump zombie kills you. Well, guess what? You're fighting the boss again.
That's so frustrating.
Yep. It happened to me.
Are you talking about the ship boss?
Yep.
Ship boss?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
That's rough.
Yeah.
That's rough.
It's like the first boss, the real boss that you fight. And it's like, oh, I made it. I made it with just a little bit of life. I did it. And then I'm just doot-doot-doot-doot walking through level two and... Just some guy whacks me with nothing, and now I'm back before the boss.
And speaking of getting whacked, I feel like the hitboxes were a little off. I don't know, there was something about this game that just didn't feel fluid. I don't know if you got that. It just like the controls felt very stiff. And the way that Miriam kind of, it's like, it was stiff, but like still floaty. It was such a weird feeling. It was such a weird feeling because like, you don't have the precision. I don't think you had the kind of precision of like a Mario or something like that.
No, definitely
not. The anime, like, so for example, you get the gun, you shoot the gun doesn't like that bullet only travels so far. It doesn't like, you don't even see a drop off. It just kind of disappears. Like,
yeah,
I thought that gun, like, I was struggling a bit with that boss. And when I was like, okay, so I'm going to hang back and just fire away at it. Jump and fire. And then you would see the bullet go and then just disappear. I'm like, wait, what? Like, what happened? Like, why did it do that? So you have to get closer to the boss. It was just a little like frustrating overall. Like, I don't know. I don't know what I was expecting, but.
To need to use a ranged weapon up close. Yeah, that would be a bit frustrating.
Yeah, no, but I mean, like, overall, like, I didn't know what to really expect because I don't know. I thought that, like, for example, I would be able to, like, at least shoot up or shoot down or, like, you know, add the, like, those kind of things would be in there. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this game isn't very old. So, like, you would expect some sort of modernization of sorts. Yes, the characters are 3D, but another one of my dislikes, it looks kind of dated for some reason. Like, they have that kind of anime look to them. But the backgrounds just look muddy or something like that. It just, I don't know. It was something was off about it. And I don't know how you felt about that.
Well, I didn't note anything about the art specifically, but I did not like a lot of the animations, and including Miriam's like walk animation, which you see a whole lot of because you're walking left, walking right, walking up, walking down, walking all over the gosh darn place. I just think her walk is dumb. It's stupid. It's annoying looking, and I have to watch it constantly. So,
you know, like I feel like this is one of those games though that I think would have looked better if it was in if it was pixelated or like hand drawn or something. If it was done like that, like I think it would have looked great, but they chose. I can understand maybe it's probably easier to animate a 3D model, versus hand drawing.
Build a model once, rig it, and then
So, but it was like I was like, I feel like they missed the mark, especially again when I'm looking at that cover art. It looks really good, and then I'm like, then I get.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's like the old days, right? You have some stellar box art, and then you start going to play the game. You're like, this doesn't look anything like the box art.
We have the opportunity now. Like, we have the technology now, Tom, to make the games look like those covers. Like, we've played, like, look.
Yes.
As much as I didn't, like Scarlet Nexus, right? It looked like you were playing like an anime. It looked that close. And that's just one of the examples of games that can go to that particular style. And it doesn't look dated. It doesn't look dated because of the way that they've like their art direction, I would say, overall in it. So yeah. One other thing, while we do get a lot of weapons, I really wish I could have just swapped the weapons on the fly. It was missing something, but to be able to like, you know, for a certain situation, being able to have like a gun, but then like maybe, this guy's coming up too close, so swap to like a heavy weapon and just take him out. That would have been nice. So,
yeah. I'm with you, like not being able to switch. There's some mechanical choices in this game that left me scratching my head. That's certainly one of them. Like zeroing your health bar, like not really having a way to like quick drink a potion or anything like that. Like, it's very easy
you have to go into an
die and game over and have to do a lot over again if you're not constantly save scumming, basically, right? Like every time you find something that you like, run back to the room where you save your progress and save your progress. So it's like, I found a cool weapon, go save. I got refilled my health, go save. And then like the problem is you re-enter a room and the enemies respawn, so you can't. It's not I'm just going to beat up all the bad guys, save, and then fight the boss. It's like, it doesn't really work that way.
No. But I took, I did use that to my advantage because I was, at one point I was getting my butt kicked by the boss. And I was like, you know what, let me try to level up. And I, there was a room to the side that I just kept spamming, like, cause there was like that big guy with the flail or whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
And I just kept, I literally just stood in the corner. You could only see my hand sticking out. I could shoot him from there. And I just kept doing that. It was hilarious to be able to just do that. And it was a good time. Good time.
There you go.
But I know you kind of talked a little about the plot being cringy. I thought the big baddie, his name sounded pretty weak for a you're talking about Castlevania, you're talking about Dracula, you're talking about Alucard. Alucard is Dracula backwards, but still, it still sounded cool. Yeah. And then you got this guy called Giebel?
Giebel.
Like, what? They didn't even say it cool like that. It was just like Giebel. Like it was like Giebel? Like I'm supposed to be intimidated by this guy. I mean, when you see him, he's kind of, I guess, like he's got the whole Phantom of the Opera kind of look to him or whatever. Yeah. But it was like, this guy, he doesn't look scary at all. Like his name, like it does not like invoke any fear in me. So that was, and the other thing, honestly, I don't know what the relationship between Miriam and Giebel is. Like, I thought they were brother and sister, but then as you know, when they have their conversation, it was like, oh, you found me. And it was like, okay. So they're not brother and sister. They're just similar souls in this particular scenario. I don't know. It was really weird.
Two kids from the same town at a minimum, right?
Yeah, right. So, so be it. It is. And I see here you mentioned audio mixes.
Yeah, I didn't. It was fine once the game got really going, but certainly in the cutscenes up in the beginning of the game, like things were way too low. Like the dialogue was super low and the music was super loud. And it's like, this plot is already difficult enough to follow. Like I need to be able to hear it clearly.
Right. Yeah, it's true. It's very true. Cool.
Maybe they just knew that their music was stronger than their plot. Yeah, so
it's just like, just drown out with the music. They'll love the music, but the rest of this stuff.
Yeah.
It's just all window dressing. But yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. Anything else here you wanted to bring up about dislikes?
I'm ready to move on if you're ready to move on.
All right. So How Long to Beat says this game takes about 14 to 20 hours to complete, which I'm assuming is just like that first run, you know, playing as Miriam. And then, as we mentioned before, there are multiple characters that you play, multiple game modes that you can potentially play as well. The one thing, this is xCloud capable, but it is not cross-save compatible. Hmm. So you play it on your PC, cannot pick up and go with your same save on xCloud or on your Xbox. That's unfortunate, but it is an older game, so I'm like, okay, I'll give it a pass.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't built for this.
Yeah, I guess not. So, what about you, Tom?
Okay, we hit it early on. The development was led by the Castlevania series producer Koji Igarashi. I might have said that wrong. I apologize. And so it is a spiritual successor to Castlevania in much the same way that Inafune did Mighty No. 9 for Mega Man. Yep. In fact, because Mighty No. 9 successfully got it kickstarted, that's what gave this gentleman the idea to do the very same. Okay. It's like, oh, okay, this is something that I can do too. And so here we are. There are two other games in this Bloodstained series, which is why I think it was familiar sounding to me.
Yeah.
They're both called Curse of the Moon. There's Curse of the Moon 1 and Curse of the Moon 2. And they're more retro looking. So they were faster, so easier to produce and came out first.
So this is the third game then.
Yeah.
Wow.
The music is written by Michiru Yamane, who also worked on Castlevania, and you have other people working on this who also worked on Castlevania in terms of like programmers and things like that. So, not a big surprise that this feels a lot like a Castlevania game. There were people who worked on Castlevania working on all aspects of this game. So,
okay, cool. All right. Well, then Tom, I guess we are getting to our final thoughts here. Our final decision: are we keeping this respective, this game on our respective hard drives, or wiping the stain off of our off our floor?
Can we get the stain out? I think there's a lot of potential here, especially if you are a fan of the genre. So if you really like Metroidvania games, I would certainly recommend this to you.
Yeah.
That said, I don't like replaying and backtracking and the genre at all.
Sure.
For me, it's just too much of a deterrent to consider playing this game anymore. Like, I don't... To be fair, I did try very briefly playing it as one of the other characters, and what that meant was he was like super leveled and could just like one shot most of the enemies, and you just kind of blaze through it. And I was like, yeah, this is great. But the problem is there is no plot, because the game assumes that you've already played the game. So like, you know what's happening.
Okay.
So it's like,
so if like the dialogue, none of the dialogue happens.
It just drops you in the level, and you just move through the level, and you have the ability to double jump, and you can one shot guys, so you can find things and, you know, explore areas faster. You get to portal rooms, like there's a whole thing. But
oh wow, that's kind of cool.
I think it's, if you like this sort of stuff, you'd love this sort of stuff, but it's just not me.
Yeah. For me, honestly, maybe it was all the hype about this game or this series that it got, and like, you know, being a spiritual successor to the Castlevania series, and like you just mentioned, all of the like these Castlevania alumni coming in and working on this game, was like, I think that's even more of a reason why I was like so disappointed in it. I've played some Metroidvania games that have definitely that are better than this game.
Yeah.
And recently too, right? So, and well, not a Curious Case of Benedict Fox. That game's a stinker. Anyway, but this game just doesn't hold up for me. I am going to pass on. Like, the music was good. It just felt so clunky to play.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah. Anyway, those are our thoughts. Let us know what you think of this game. Follow us and say hello on Twitter at TC1H1D. Shoot us an email at TC1H1D@outlook.com. Check out our next streams on Twitch at twitch.tv/1H1D. And hey, if you're on YouTube and you think that we are completely wrong about this game and we are horrible human beings, I guess you can leave a comment down below and I guess we'll try to respond to it.
Yeah, start a flame war.
Start a flame war. 1H1D is part of that Q2E network. And if you like any cool gaming content, check it all out at quitthebuild.com/network. So, Tom?
Yes. One order of business left before we let them go.
Yes. We need to find out what we're playing next. And we're going to find out. Here we go. Hit the surprising button. Let's-a go. Oh, well, this is interesting. This was actually in our poll, but didn't win. A little to the left.
This is the puzzle game.
I think so. Well, okay. We'll find out. We'll find out soon enough, Tom, because we're going to be playing that. And we'll be giving you our thoughts on that. So thank you so much, everyone, for tuning into this episode. And we will catch you on the next one.
Thanks, everybody.